This is East End Inc. Today we present poet Grace Shulman reading from her newest collection, Again the Dawn, New and Selected Poems, 1976 to 2022. Ms. Shulman was recorded at the Church Sag Harbor in April 2023. Here are some excerpts. The complete talk is online at moreeastendinc.blogspot.com.
Scallop shell. I found scallop shells on one of our beautiful bays, Louse Point, and I thought of the pilgrims who visited the tomb of St. James on a road called Camino de Santiago. They visited James in a plague year, and they pinned scallop shells to their capes as badges because St. James was found miraculously alive, coming to the surface of the water after he had thought to be drowned. And his body was covered with scallop shells. And that was the origin of the Pilgrim's March. Scallop shell, see them at low tide, scallop shells glittering on a scallop-edged shore, whittled by water into curvy rows, the shape of waves that kiss the sand only to erode it. Today I walked that shoreline humming Camino Santiago, the road to St. James's tomb, where pilgrims traveled, scallop badges on their capes, and chanted prayers for a miracle to cure disease. And so I, stirred by their purpose, hunted for scallop shells shaped like pleated fans with mouths that open and close to steer them from predators. I scooped up a fan and blew off sand grains, thinking for that one moment of how St. James's body rose from the sea decked with scallops and of this empty beach in another austere time. Let this unholy pilgrim implore the scallop shell, silvery half moon, save us. This is a monologue spoken by Sister Jacques-Marie, who came to the great painter Matisse as Monique Bourgeois, as his helper, his nurse, his love, perhaps. And she later became a nun. And so the poem is called Confessions of a Nun. I speak as her, and of course I'm not, I don't look much like a nun, I'm not a nun. But they say that people often make the distinction between poetry and fiction, but poetry is fiction, actually, and the monologue is a way of presenting another character as oneself. Confessions of a Nun. Yes, I loved Matisse. He made it for me, you know, this church of glass and fire. Now, when the sun rolls rectangles on floors through windows painted yellow, I remember the yellow broom we stumbled through each morning when we climbed this hill, and how he stirred to greens and scrub weeds, whites in the anemones, and blues in the sliver of sea beyond rock terraces. He owned his loves, his Vance, I his Monique, nurse, disciple, rose. But who was I? Harsh words we had, a few. I had to leave for me, myself, my holy vows. If I belonged to anything, it was, how could I tell him, someone larger. Il faut y voir plus. There must be more. Later, he aged arthritic, waiting for the angel to wound him. None appeared. But when my sisters called for a new chapel, I drew a priest he painted on the wall while belted to his chair. I tied a brush to a long twig, strapped it to his arm, and watched him paint anger in daring strokes, an outsized poppy, the virgin and child, a monk. Rage for lost years, for few to come. Why does he think his work is never finished? And yet he seemed, what is it? Pitié. Not for him. He told me once in wartime, his daughter captured, tortured for her fight in the Maquis, he wept at home alone, all the while painting joy in reds and violets. Now in this blue-green-yellow chapel, seeing the late day sunlight on the sketches of plane tree, priestly vestments, and an altar the color of risen bread, I know at last that just as he held my vows in his great hands, he, godless, will work it out with God. The next of the new poems is called Night Visitor. It was inspired by my thinking a lot about flamenco dance and watching it, and duende, which the singers rise to duende, which is a spirit of creativity that has to do with night and an artist's confrontation with mortality. But it's always, Lorca wrote, night sounds, all that has night sounds has duende. Night visitor. I've had more soothing callers at my window. There's the muse that brushes by as lightly as a dangling scarf. An arrier, the helium balloon from my neighbor's nuptials, tied to her guardrail, wafting my way. Not him. The window demon comes at night and jabs at a guitar. The jangling discords and moonless tones call up ferocious joy. Fingers move crab-like on a fretted neck. He strums the undersides of leaves, roses the color of blood, silence in the sea's roar. Hearing those wails, ears that had been dulled, quickened to danger. The quieter muse blows elegies on a muted trumpet. Swift angels bless the dead and fly away. But he lands often, toe-heel, and I tremble. I tremble all the more when he isn't there. Because in a wounded universe, the tufts of grass still glisten. The first daffodil shoots up through ice melt. And a red-tailed hawk perches on a cathedral spire. And because children toss a fire-red ball in the yard, where a schoolhouse facade was scarred by vandals, and joggers still circle a dry reservoir, because a rainbow flaunts its painted ribbons and slips them somewhere underneath the earth, because in a smoky bar the trombone blares louder than street sirens, because those who can no longer speak of pain are singing. And when on this wide meadow in the park. A full moon still outshines the city lights. And on returning home below the North Star, I see new bricks and glass where the towers fell. And I remember my love's calloused hand soften in my hand while crabapple blossoms showered our lips. And a yellow rose opened with its satellites of orange buds. Because I cannot lose the injured world without losing the world, I'll have to praise it. And this is my pandemic poem. I saw a complete, where I live in New York, Washington Square Park, I saw a completely empty park, no people in it, and I wondered what the world would be like without us in it. Not without the world itself, but without us in the world. Gone. From my window, I see the world without us in it. A vacant park, a silver maple sheltering no reader. A cherry tree dressed like a bride betrayed. Her wedding canceled. A dogwood tree whose whites will fall without regretful eyes. No baby strollers, no candy wrappers stuffed in bins. Just a sign, no bicycles, and memories of skateboard pirouettes. Around us death. The numbers spin the mind, fever dreams, the last breath held alone. I had not thought death had undone so many. This park reminds us it was once a field for the unclaimed dead of galloping yellow fever. Construction workers dug up skeletons that had lain for years beneath our footsteps. Death in the hanging elm. A rooted gallows. Now the clear air, pollution-free, is poison for walkers, while trees stand stern, immune. Sad paradox. For comfort, I recall Camille Pissarro would have lingered here. He painted Paris gardens from a window, having left his island's sprawling shores for tighter scenes. He gazed at people, matchsticks from above, in ones and twos. Below, the park's unlittered paths are mute. But wait, just now, a mournful, prayerful sax, unseen from somewhere, unlooses notes, calls me to the window, and I hear the sounds I can't imagine days without. This poem is called The Sound. Akabonic, Shinnecock, Peconic, Napeag, the creek, the bay, the ocean, the stream, the sound, the sounds of consonants, hard C's and K's, Atlantic, the ocean's surge, the clicks of waves collapsed on rocks in corrugated waters. The crowd circling a stranded whale sent by the god Moshe to beach at Pomanac. The Montauks left us names, their successors, Millers and Bennetts, whose names are carved on local gravestones, rode rough tides, strung trawl lines for cod. And even on Sundays, parked vans by the sea and gazed in fear until commercial hulls replaced their boats. Surfmen gave names to streets that bag the tourists who prize their charm. I hear old sailors rage in many languages against cold winds, the light now clear, now haze, Pharaohs and Mulfords, whalers, names unknown, hurl throaty curses that rise with the sound of waves and with the cries of an ice-colored gull plucking scallops in shadows.
This is East End, Inc. We are listening to poet Grace Shulman reading from her latest collection, Again the Dawn, New and Selected Poems, 1976 to 2022. Ms. Shulman was recorded at the Church, Sag Harbor.
Cool jazz. Late afternoon, under a salmon sky, a night heron, stalking with shock hole plumage, leans sideways like a bowling pin off balance on an island risen for the day, only to sink later with the tide. I saw Miles Davis lean aslant, a night heron on Broadway, shoulders hunched, horn pointed down, until he hoisted brass and played away sadness of Spain, his sadness, with a tight mute and without vibrato, making a sound like moaning underwater, then wider, embracing all sound, tern cries, wind and cedars. In the silence of a heron stabbing minnows, you could hear Miles, his hunger of another kind, deeper, gnawing, harder to feed. Applause rose up like water slapping the shore. He lowered his eyes, muttered, "Endings just drag me," and walked off the platform. The heron flew. Street music, Astor Place. There he is, outside the subway entrance, where sunlit figures race down steps to darkness, their hearing like mine dulled by traffic whines. He sits low and drums jazz on a plastic box, turned upside down, white with blue letters stamped by its owner, U.S. Postal Service, made for mail, though with an alto's range. Now he raises sticks and beats staccato, up-tempo, faster than your foot can tap. Judging from his gaze, the eyes unfocused, no money jug in sight, no pause for offerings, no violin cases open like birds' beaks. I'd say he dives for notes that only he hears and swims up proud. He raps sticks soft and loud alone, though he may think his rattling joins a trumpeter's phrases blown on breakneck speed or a pianist's feathery arpeggios. For me it does. The sound calls back a cave of smoke, tall laughter, a bass player solos, a tenor sax eases out notes in a whisper that grows into a regal tone and floats above the chords. Faces gleam at tables, but no, the subway entrance man's alone. He rumbles on, catching the city's breath, rolling out solitude in the midst of clatter. His playing says, "If you rub two sticks together, you'll have fire, or you might have music." And one more jazz poem. My first job after college was working for Glamour magazine, and all that changed when I heard Thelonious. After that, I went straight, wrote poems, and went to graduate school. Thelonious himself. They came back new each night, thumps, craggy runs, one finger jabs at keys that were hot pans, heels dug in wood, soles flapping like seals. He stabbed notes that seemed wrong until they soared, all ragged beauty. Just 25, I envied his starry reach, the risk to play it real. At the Slick magazine, the risk was only no risk. I stabbed a lukewarm keyboard, hard prose about airy tool. Form meant neat, no dissonance. Once I was tapped to herd 10 best-dressed college girls to hear the monk in a cafe on St. Mark's Place. Not bad. Now, there was neatness. Strict as shorebirds grouping, they filed in, bread knife heels clacking in tempo, strangled waists, sleek heads a claiming finish, 10 S-shapes, 20 legs monk ogled through dark glasses, bamboo frames. He didn't sneer at their clatter, no. While the sax wailed solo, monk stood tall and swayed forward, unmistakably davening, moved by some unseen beauty. Suddenly, he snapped fingers as though to shape pain into order. That was form. And all was void, as before creation, and there was light. I left the job next day. This next poem is called Hickories. Why do I write of hickories, whose boughs touch other boughs across a slender road? When our neighbor, Hanin, born in Gaza, cried that a missile ripped her niece apart in the family garden. The child's father found her intestine stuck to a cypress bark, and he too perished in the end, in the raid. Her mother wrote to Hanin before the news was out, "Help me take my hand. Why do I rave of hickories reaching out their crooked fingers?" Because before the fires, the child Lena was dropping almonds into a linen napkin. Soon she would run to offer them for dinner. Like Lena, I raced to show you hickories, their nuts shrunk in brown globes, soon to fall. And this is a, Auden wrote that poetry makes nothing happen, and this is a poem I've read, hoping for peace in the Middle East. So far, it hasn't had effects. It's a ghazal. An Arabic, a 7th century Arabic form, basically of couplets that rhyme in certain ways. But the odd thing about this ghazal is that it's a Yom Kippur ghazal. I used to come out here during the high holidays break from teaching at Baruch and sit by the bay. Not without guilt, but I enjoyed doing that, and this is where the poem takes place. Prayer for Aga Shah. Aga Shahid Ali was a poet who made the ghazal, the true ghazal, known among American poets. He brought it to us and how to write it and so forth. Prayer. Yom Kippur. Wearing a bride's dress bought in Jerusalem, I peer through swamp reeds, my thought in Jerusalem. Velvet on grass, odd, but I learned young to keep this day just as I can, if not as I ought, in Jerusalem. Like sleep or love, prayer may surprise the woman who laughs by a stream or the child distraught in Jerusalem. My Arab dress has blue-green-yellow threads, the shades of mosaics hand-wrought in Jerusalem that both peoples prize, like the blue-yellow dome of the rock, like strung beads and clothes said to ward off the draught in Jerusalem. Both savor things that grow wild, coreopsis in April, the rose that buds late like an afterthought in Jerusalem. While car bombs flared, an Arab poet translated Hebrew verses whose flame caught in Jerusalem. And you, Shahid, sail Yudah HaLevi's sea as Ion Khalib's course like an argonaut in Jerusalem. Stone lions pace the Sultan's gate while almonds bloom into images Hebrew and Arabic wrought in Jerusalem. No words, no metaphors, for knives that gore flesh on streets where the people have fought in Jerusalem. As this spider weaves a web in silence, may Hebrew and Arabic be woven taut in Jerusalem. Here at the bay, I see my face in the shadows and plumb for the true self, our Abraham, sought in Jerusalem. Open the gates to rainbow-colored words of outlanders, their sounds untaught in Jerusalem. My name is Grace, Kana in Hebrew and in Arabic. May its meaning, God's love, at last be taught in Jerusalem.
We heard poet Grace Shulman reading from her latest collection, Again the Dawn, New and Selected Poems, 1976 to 2022. The book was published in November 2022 by Turtle Point Press. She was recorded in April 2023 at the Church Sag Harbor. The complete recording is posted at moreeastendinc.blogspot.com. Grace Shulman's published work includes the poetry collections The Marble Bed, published by Turtle Point Press in 2020, The Broken String, published in 2007, and The Paintings of Our Lives, published in 2001 by Houghton Mifflin. Ms. Shulman's critical work, Marianne Moore, The Poetry of Engagement, was published by the University of Illinois Press in 1986. Some upcoming literary events in Sag Harbor include the marathon reading of Herman Melville's Moby Dick, the weekend of June 9 to 11. The readings start on Friday, June the 9th at noon at Canyon's Books, 290 Main Street, and continue at 2:30 p.m. at the Old Whalers Church with actor Harris Yulin and the Hamptons Choral Society. Details are online at canyonsculturalcafe.org. Today's East End Inc. was produced by Tony Ernst, with the aid of Marianne Calendrill and Catherine Soka of Canio's Books and Talina Mascali of the Church Sag Harbor. This is Hazel Kahn.